I'm Stephanie Belcher.
And I'm Del Belcher, and welcome to...
Learn to like each other. How are you today, Delbert?
Stephanie, I'm not feeling like I'm on my game, because if you're listening to this now... you will know that we're late. The episode's late.
Yes. But yes,
they
say it is.
Better late than never. We were late for 4 weeks and then we're late again. But here's the thing. This time it wasn't my fault. It wasn't?
Not really. No.
Have you ever had that happen where you turn on your computer and then it says, oh, I know you really wanted to be on me right now, but guess what? Here's an update. Don't shut off your computer. This might take a few minutes. And then it goes and goes for hours and hours and hours until you get an update. And we were like, oh, shoot. And then our scheduled time didn't work. And then here we are. And that's my story.
These computer updates, there's probably a good reason, like Russia. But I feel like they're happening more often and taking longer.
There's got to be some way. Mark and Bill, I want you two to figure out a way to sneakily update my computer without messing up my life, because they happen like every month. I'm getting an update, and every month, I don't know if I missed the warning signs or something. They just happen. Do they happen? Does this happen to you at work or where you work?
We just get push stuff, and now we have a thing where it says your computer's just going to shut down and you don't have a choice.
Oh, man.
Like, it's like you have 10 minutes. And that's if you have a meeting, if you're in the middle of presenting, it doesn't matter. It just shuts down.
Sorry, some LaCroix went down the wrong pipe.
You okay?
I might be the first millennial killed by LaCroix. Do you think the millennial revolt against the LaCroix would happen if I was to die?
No.
Okay. Well, Stephanie.
Well, I wonder if someone already has died of it, but like big soda, big LaCroix is just hiding it.
Well, I've been seeing these articles about like people trying to drag it. Like, is sparkling water and mineral water really good for you? It's like, it's just fizzy water. And like, it's not hydrating enough for you. It's not that. I don't drink LaCroix to be hydrated. I drink it because I love it.
Well, I drink it because I want all the soda, but none of the calories.
There it is. There it is. And it tastes like a glass of water was sitting next to a soda for a very long time.
I once heard someone describe it as, it's like drinking water that someone farted a scent into. With just a fart of lemon.
That's a poof of lemon.
Yeah.
It's like a dream. It's like if an alien came to Earth and saw a lemon and then dreamed about it and then you drank that.
Then they wrote about it.
And this is what I think it would taste like.
Yes.
So yeah, LaCroix almost killed me, and then our computer didn't update, and then now we're here. So
first world problems.
Hey, we're just trying to provide our people with the content.
Yeah.
This is what pays us those big bucks.
Yeah. So this is Learn to Like Each Other. It's a podcast where we talk about research stuff with the goal of giving you information so you can learn to like people.
It's true. So what do you have for us today, Stephanie?
Well, you know what season it is.
What?
Bow hunting season.
Oh, didn't the deer...
Isn't it bow hunting season?
In Michigan, where we live, deer hunting season has started. Mm-hmm. And it starts with the bow, and they let all those like little guys with their bows and arrows go out and run around in their Robin Hood outfits shooting net deer. And then they let the big boys come in with their boomsticks to kind of clean up the mess. So, yes, it is deer season. There are so many deer everywhere. It's ridiculous.
The season is upon us. Whoops. So that, but then there's also Halloween.
Oh.
Yeah, which I think we've talked about because we mentioned watching Scream.
Yes, last time we talked about watching Scream, which we finished.
We did.
It was good. It was fun. It was fine.
Yeah. Not, something to watch.
Not moving my heart, but very good.
And so given that it's Halloween season, I thought of something that would be a little bit scary, but also like interesting to people. And so the one that I came up with is psychopathy.
Psychopathy.
Or being a psycho.
Oh, so like Bates Motel, murder in the shower kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, not to say that all people that are psychopaths or sociopaths end up being murderers.
But most murderers are.
I know, it's like if A equals B and B equals C.
It's like
yeah.
All whales are... No, there's a thing about dolphins that I don't know. I'm just going to stop.
We're not.
Okay. All apples are fruit, but not all fruit are apples.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Nailed it.
And so I looked into this a bit, and it was kind of interesting. So here we go.
Okay. Take me to that spooky town.
So when I looked this up, I originally looked up what's the difference between a sociopath and a psychopath. Have you seen that?
So what is the difference? One of them is psycho and one of them is socio.
And so I did find a few things that said that they're really different. And I watched a video that I put a lot of time into that gave the similarities and differences. However, I defaulted to the DSM-5, which we've mentioned before when we talked about toxic masculinity. Think mm-hmm. or something, and it's the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual 5,
the fifth one.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's what they use to diagnose people in the mental health field. Mm-hmm. So it is literally a step-by-step guide for if you see this and this and this, then it equals this.
It's a lot of those like should I buy a taco kind of charts, you know, like,
yes,
are you hungry, yes, do you like Mexican food, yes, buy a taco.
Yes.
Okay.
Always buy
but
a taco.
But for psychopaths.
Yes.
It's a little more nuanced than that.
And so in the DSM-5, they say that it's not sociopath, psychopath. Instead, they use antisocial personality disorder or APD.
Which one is that? Is that the psychos?
It's both. Oh. So antisocial personality disorder is what we're going to talk about, but traditionally you've probably heard it called psychopath or sociopath.
Okay, and they both stem from the same kind of roots.
I don't know about that. I'm saying that when I looked up sociopath and psychopath,
okay, yes.
There wasn't a clear definition.
Okay.
I'm saying the diagnostic manual says, mm-hmm. no, it's not that. It's antisocial personality disorder. So you wouldn't call someone a psychopath or sociopath. Instead, you would say that person has antisocial personality disorder.
Gotcha.
Does that help?
Sure.
Was that enough context?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Okay.
So tell me about these things.
Okay. Oh, so APD, antisocial personality disorder. Some people said ASPD, APD, whatever.
It's just not as sexy as like Alfred Hitchcock's antisocial personality disorder.
No, it's not.
It's like, whoa.
I bet we, yeah, you're right.
But I get what you're saying.
So at a really high level, if you have or know someone with antisocial personality disorder, which you should not diagnose, a person has three overarching traits. It's the acronym is CDM. So the DSM for the APD has a CDM acronym.
Too many letters. That's an alphabet soup.
So conceited, mm-hmm. deceitful,
ooh.
Manipulative.
Oh.
Yeah.
Conceitful, deceitful.
Conceit, deceit, manip.
Manip. Conceit, deceit, manip.
Conceit, deceit, manipulation.
That's a good one. So, okay. So don't diagnose people, but that's what you look for.
That's what psychologists would look for. What someone who's a trained mental health professional would look for.
You could say you're conceited, but like maybe they're just a jerk and they don't actually fit the clinical definition of what those things are.
Correct.
But like I've seen these people on TV, I should know.
Yeah.
I've seen these, but we don't know really.
And so APD, antisocial personality disorder, like other personality disorders, has to be a long-standing pattern of behavior and experience, and it has to cause an impair of functioning or cause distress to someone.
Okay.
So if you have these traits, but like no problems, mm-hmm. which probably isn't happening.
But you're not just going to like one day be a psycho or have antisocial personality disorder. Okay, I got to stop saying that because I'm just like, we use psycho almost like slang. Like, it's crazy, but that's not even it. So I'm going to try to break that, get woke about it.
Yeah, it's okay. Thank you. I mean, I don't think there's going to be like a group of psycho people with antisocial personality disorder who are like going to cause a riot over it.
You know what?
And if they did, would you really want them coming after you?
This might be the thing that gets me canceled finally.
Okay. So, and it also has to be longstanding. So it has to, it can't be a one day.
Show up one day and people are like, what is your deal? Like, this kind of has to be a thing that you've, okay, gotcha.
And so there's a few other criteria. So the other one is it's not meant for anyone that's younger than 18 because sometimes people are just like a three-year-old.
Three-year-olds sometimes seem like they have antisocial personalities.
It's true. Like sometimes you meet a child and be like,
you are something.
But sometimes that's just like child rearing or a weird phase. What's like their brains aren't fully formed yet.
Norman? Oh, that's nice. I'll be going.
And so also sometimes you need to look for whether there was a significant loss because some of the traits you might see in antisocial personality disorder can cause exacerbated symptomology that's just going to dissipate over time.
Okay. Got it.
So, you know, if you have something horrible happen and you're acting atypical, it's because you had something horrible happen.
Yeah. And it could last for a long time though.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so this impacts, I saw a whole bunch of statistics. So I've seen 0.2. So the DSM says 0.2 to 3.3% of the public. I saw other ones that went all the way up to 10. But the DSM says 0.2 to 3.3%.
Okay, wow. Mm.
However, to your point about movies, in award-winning movies, traits of antisocial personality disorder are present in 23% of award-winning movies.
That's what makes a good movie.
It's true.
Not unstable, but a character that we can't, like, that we think is dangerous.
Yes.
That we can actually, like, spy on and it's know true. That we're okay.
And so antisocial personality disorder is also more commonly diagnosed in males. It's 6 times more often diagnosed in men than in women.
Not surprised. That doesn't surprise me.
And the other fact, this is going to blow your mind. Maybe.
I need that. I need it. Give it to me.
So the other thing they said, and I feel like I've said this, is there are a lot of high-functioning people with antisocial personality disorder.
Sure.
You've seen that stat that's like CEOs and lawyers, like all of them are psychos, really.
Steve Jobs was a psychopath.
Yeah, like something like that. That's not true.
Oh.
It's a myth. There are some people that have antisocial personality disorder that can excel. That's true. But most people with antisocial personality disorder, one of the main features of it is that they're really irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
So by and large...
they're not going to be... And they're also antisocial, which doesn't seem to be something that would make you be good at people stuff.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
There are some people that can succeed. For by and large, though, that's not true.
You kind of have to, like, pretend.
Yeah.
Like with the ADHD stuff, not that it's the same.
It's definitely not the same.
Not the same. However, learn to do this because I'm supposed to do this, but I can't
do
that.
You can learn.
So I do this other thing.
You can learn a pattern.
Yeah, learning a pattern, yes.
But in general, irresponsible people don't do super well climbing the society ladder.
Okay. Okay, good to know.
Good at other things. Probably not going to be running a company.
Okay, got it. So those people are just egomaniacs, probably.
Maybe. we'll let other people diagnose that.
Oh, another topic for another show.
And so when it comes to what causes antisocial personality disorder, I found some stuff not in the DSM that said that it was childhood trauma, and they thought it was trauma combined with your brain isn't developed.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the things they think that are related, but they haven't totally proven, is that there could be some socialization factors. So small children that have a lot of traumatic events, a lot of abuse, physical stuff like that.
I mean, that does change your physiology anyway. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, it would make it makes sense that someone would think that.
Yeah, but that's, you know, like the A equals B, we will see. But that's right, not right. to say that if you have childhood trauma, you're going to have antisocial personality
exactly.
disorder.
Exactly.
But they did give the case of John Wayne Gacy, who had, if you, a horrible childhood. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but then other people think that that genetics somehow plays a role, and that what happens is genetically, the part of the brain that's associated with emotion and impulse regulation is underdeveloped, and that develops around age 5 or 6. And for some people, genetically, like, that part of the brain just does not grow as much as mm-hmm. what they think.
Yeah.
But then tying that with the trauma piece, it's like, well, does it not grow because whatever? Mm-hmm. I don't know. So these are theories, but
there are ways for the experts to sort of kind of guide them mm-hmm. through how to get people some assistance.
Yes.
That's very nice.
Okay. So now let's get to the meat.
Okay, now it's the meat, really.
I know, this wasn't even the meat.
This is just the setup.
So, if we were armchair psychiatrists, these are the 7 traits of someone that has antisocial personality disorder.
Okay.
So, we already said the first part. It has to be a pervasive pattern. Mm-hmm. So this isn't the first one. This is just the description. I literally cut and pasted this from.
Okay. So this is like the real
this
deal.
This is cut and paste. I'm going to read verbatim.
Okay.
A pervasive pattern of disregard for and violation of the rights of others occurring since age 15 years, as indicated by 3 or more of the following 7 symptoms.
Ooh.
Yeah. So after age 15, like, if it's going on for a while.
Yeah, this is like, that. I would call that a pattern.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't diagnose yourself with this either. Maybe you've just had a bad day. Okay.
I feel like you can't, because the second you start thinking, am I this? You're probably
I know.
Not.
I read these and I was like, what am I doing?
If the fact that you're thinking, do I have this disorder?
Yeah,
you probably don't.
Okay. Number 1 of 7. Failure to conform to social norms with respect to lawful behaviors, mm-hmm. as indicated by repeatedly performing acts that are grounds for arrest.
Oh.
Yeah. And so that could be destroying property, harassing people, stealing.
Not just goofing. You're like breaking the law.
Serious stuff. And generally, it would be having no regard for what others feel or what they want.
Got it.
Number 2. We mentioned this one at the top. Do you remember? CDM.
Manipulative.
D.
Deceitful.
Yeah. So they're deceitful, as indicated by repeated lying, use of aliases.
No, that wasn't Greg. That was Brian.
Or conning others for personal profit or pleasure.
Okay.
In one video I watched, they talked about, is it Alfred Ponzi, the Ponzi scheme guy?
Is that his real name?
It's something Ponzi.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Oh,
that's
did you?
Amazing.
Ponzi's, I think he's Italian.
Okay. I feel so bad for all of the Ponzi relatives. What a terrible name.
Never going into a successful business again, that's for sure.
Oh, Steve Ponzi? Okay, nice to meet you.
I'm out. Bye, Steve. Number 3 is that they're impulsive or they have failure to plan ahead. Mm-hmm. And so this means they can often make really spur of the moment decisions
that will get them arrested and hurt other people.
Well, yeah. And like, this is why we're talking about some of the, you know, CEO or whatever stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you're super impulsive and you don't really think about what you're doing, you know.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are like that.
Yeah. But and so it's like this, plus you need to have not. It'd be several of these things.
Right. Several of these things in combination for a long period of time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Not just hither, thither.
Hither, thither. Willy-nilly.
Not just willy-nilly forgetfulness or impulsivity. Number 4 is irritability and aggressiveness as indicated by repeated physical fights or assaults.
Okay. So not just, I'm aggressive, but I will beat you up.
Yeah. We're talking about someone that gets into fights and assaults people.
Ooh. Not great.
Yeah. That's the one I feel like we see the most in mm-hmm. movies. Like, there's a physicality to all of it.
It's that is probably the most visual of it.
And it's scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
Number five is a reckless disregard for the safety of self or others.
I kind of love how it's not just a disregard, but it's a reckless disregard.
Isn't it kind of beautiful in a way?
Reckless makes something so much extra. It's such a good word.
Well, and I feel like it kind of goes with the physicality in number four, mm-hmm. because in my mind, I'm like, well, in order to have four, the physicality in beating people, you kind of need to have five, mm-hmm. or you need to have a reckless disregard for others, because if you are just able to beat people up, you obviously probably aren't really caring about your safety or theirs, because mm-hmm. if you punch someone, you're probably going to break something.
Or the safety of the others standing around or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that too. Hmm. And so this can often be symptoms of this, or not symptoms. You'll often see this in characteristics like poor driving, drunk driving, and then they just don't care about other people's safety.
Okay.
And then number six is they're consistently irresponsible. I don't know why I'm laughing at that. As indicated by repeated failure to sustain consistent work, behavior, or honor financial obligations. Hmm. And so some other traits you might see is they might have high-risk sex or substance abuse behavior. They might neglect children, or they might have a significant period of time where they're not employed.
So this is really someone that just doesn't care about anything.
Yes.
Yeah. Because this isn't just like, oh, the sex, or the violence, or the whatever. It's just like, this is all of it.
It's all of it.
All of it. It's all the time.
Wow. Yes, and for a long period of time.
Okay.
Number seven is a lack of remorse as indicated by being indifferent to or rationalizing having hurt, mistreated, or stolen from another person.
Okay.
So this is someone who does not feel bad for what they do. And if they hurt mm-hmm. a victim, they blame the victim for being stupid or saying, well, it's their fault because of whatever, instead mm-hmm. of saying, I did this to them.
Yes. I've heard that a lot in like, it's sad, but in like in abuse cases where the abuser is like,
yeah.
or the person says, they told me that it was my fault that I was in this relationship. And
yes.
Okay.
So those are the seven. Mm-hmm. And other like general traits are that they tend to lack empathy and be cynical. They probably have an inflated sense of self and a high sense of entitlement. Mm-hmm. And so they'd look for immediate gratification and not really understand normal societal boundaries, such as don't drink and drive and then punch people.
It's so interesting that you could go through life and then just not know that by osmosis. But yeah. I guess if your brain doesn't work like that, that's just kind of how it is.
Yeah. Hmm. So then the question becomes, and I think this is the part I warned you about.
Okay. Oh.
So now if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I have antisocial personality disorder, I don't know what you're thinking, but if you're wondering if someone who is in a movie, I don't know, what do you do about it? Mm-hmm. I'm not framing this as well as I could, but so there's no way to prevent antisocial personality disorder from happening. Mm, mm-hmm. And the most up-to-date research indicates that there's no current psychotherapy treatments to help treat people that have antisocial personality disorder.
Hmm.
But what you can do is you could work with a psychotherapist, and what that person could help do is help with building interpersonal skills, okay. and then help with developing patterns of behavior that mitigate some of the issues that come from things like being irresponsible and impulsive.
Like learning skills and patterns. But how do you do that with someone who doesn't care about getting arrested, saying, if you do this, you'll get arrested?
Well, I think like you have to have seven. I feel like this could work for someone that doesn't have like every single
kind of
trait
on that
of this.
Verge. Yeah.
Yeah, or there's, I mean, I don't know what would make someone with antisocial personality disorder necessarily interested in this, but if they are, like, there's, you know, like, you can work with someone who can help build those skills.
That therapist job is tough. Yeah. That is a tough position.
And a goal of a therapist would be to reduce impulsive behaviors that can cause harm to the person themselves.
Okay. So just any sort of reduction would be a win.
Yeah.
For that kind of thing. Okay. Wow. Okay.
And currently the U.S. Food and Drug Association doesn't have any approved drugs for treating antisocial personality disorder.
Okay. That's wild.
I know. They have, I wonder if
For depression and other brain-related things, they've got everything.
Yeah, they do.
And to not have that, especially when it's such like a public sort of feature of our culture, pop culture even, like no one's interested in that.
I know. And I wonder if they've just not looked into it or not developed it, or I guess I don't know what drug you would make, but...
Yeah, something in your brain.
Yeah.
Some inhibitor. They're all inhibitors or something, aren't they?
Yes.
Brain pills?
Brain pills?
Some sort of electrical nodes.
Yeah.
You know.
So if you have APD, you can do some psychotherapy to reduce some of the negative things.
Okay.
But if you know someone that has APD and has been diagnosed with it, there's three things that you can do to help take care of yourself.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
I know. I thought that could be helpful.
I want to help people with this show, so I think this is what we should do. Instead of just say, here's all this stuff about people who have this disorder. Bye.
So I think the first thing that's helpful is just to remember when you're talking to this person that they don't feel remorse and they don't feel empathy. And so don't... If as much as you can, try not to feel upset by that, because the person you're talking to is different than you. And so they just don't have remorse or empathy. So if that upsets you, like, you can't really take it personally. They don't have those things. It's not personal.
Yeah.
It feels like it. But it's not.
It might be, but it's not.
Yeah, it could be. I mean,
but it's not. You got to think that it's not. That's the key. Yeah.
So with that in mind, don't argue with someone with antisocial personality disorder, because sometimes they won't believe you anyway.
Right.
Like, they're not going to think that they're the issue because they don't have the ability to think that they're the issue.
They're not going to be like, oh, you have reasoned so well with me.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to think like, well, you're the issue. I'm fine. Like, I'm doing everything okay. Like, you're the problem. Mm-hmm. So, like, don't even argue with them.
Right.
And then the last thing is to prioritize your own health and your own safety. And then if you need to, get counseling for yourself, which we advocate here. Counseling, good.
That's really good, too. Like, if you have a partner or a friend or someone in your life that, you know, that's dealing with that, that's a really good idea. I think it's a very good idea.
I think so. I thought this was one of the funnest things I ever got to research.
You told me the other day, you're like, I have my article. And you never usually talk about it. You kind of keep things under wraps. But you were very excited about this one.
I thought this was interesting because I felt like I started with how society has talked about it. But then it's like, well, society's talking about it this way. But folks that are writing the manual on what it is are not talking about it the same way.
Huh, that's very cool. Well, hopefully culture kind of picks up with what the professionals are saying and doing. And hopefully we see some... I feel like a lot of things that make positive changes for people with different disorders is the kind of the culture's understanding of what is really happening. You know, when people kind of understand and kind of have acceptance of... And we've seen that a lot with, like, depression and counseling and, you know, mental health is this big, huge thing now. So hopefully with antisocial personality disorder, sociopath, psychopath, people become more empathetic towards those things.
You know, I had a thought. What if the reason they don't develop a pill for it is because if you have it, you likely like wouldn't think that you had it. So are you going to take a drug for it?
Can't make money off of it.
If you already think you're great.
And where would all our cool movies be?
Nowhere.
23% of movies.
I just talked myself out of the drug for it. Not, you know what I mean.
Well, maybe someone who doesn't care about money will develop it.
Well, I am interested to see like what you would do, but I feel like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Big Pharma knows where the money's at.
You know what? Hopefully someday we will see a breakthrough.
Well, and then the other part is it's hard to develop it. There's probably not a lot of motivation to develop a drug for a group of people that you feel like aren't treating you well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, they're not deserving.
Like with breast cancer awareness and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They're all like, help us. And so there's all of this. And you have the antisocial personality. And they're just like, nothing's wrong with us.
Well, and could they even organize anyway? I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
You're terrible and hilarious, and I love you so, so much. Well, I think that's our show for today, Stephanie. It's very okay. spooky, and I am very afraid, but I'm also encouraged. And now when I watch these bad movies about scary people, I will know what's going on, and I'll be able to empathize with them.
I had one last thought.
Yeah.
I did read some articles, like some testimonies from people that had antisocial personality disorder, and I did read one thing from a guy who did go to therapy to get treatment. And he said, like, what he got out of therapy was what Dexter Morgan got out of therapy, where he basically had, is it Henry? What was it? His father. So the therapist basically just taught him, if you want to have a job, you have to show up at 8, you have to stay till 5, and you can't, you know, do these three things. So now they said that they were moderately successful in the workplace.
And then you become a secret serial killer of bad guys.
And you
guys.
Wipe out all the other people with antisocial personality disorder.
Dexter. What a good show.
Oh, so good.
Stephanie?
That's it. Okay, I'll shut up now.
No, you can keep talking. I love it. I love it when you just get on that tear of knowledge into my brain, right down into my heart. Stephanie, I am so glad that we were able to talk about this good seasonal topic, and we'll be back next week-ish. I think we'll be back.
Well, next week, I have a conference, so we'll be back the week after that.
All right. We're going to skip a week, let you get loaded up on candy, then we'll hit the November holiday season is upon us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until next time, we will see you, and you can listen to all of our Up There episodes. We have over 100 episodes in our backlog that you can check out when you miss us next week. So we'll be back the week after that, and we're very excited to have you here. Again, this is Learn to Like Each Other. And Stephanie, anything else?
We hope that after listening to this podcast, you learn that you can like each other very, very, very much. Unless you have antisocial personality disorder. Love you. Bye.